Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode of Fight Inside Podcast. I'm your host for today, Rain Cruz, also known as Ringside Rain, ring announcer for Up Next Fighting. And with me, as always, is Timmy B. Before we get things started, please do follow and subscribe to Fight Inside Podcast so you can get the latest news and updates from our show. Our interview today is recorded prior to UFC 296, and our guest is none other than Dricus du Plessis. He will talk about his upcoming bout against Sean Strickland, what it means to be a gentleman in a savage sport, and his love for the 2023 Rugby World Cup champions, the Springboks. Plus, we will also talk about the interaction between DDP and Sean Strickland at UFC 296. We will talk about what we love the most back in 2023 and what we are looking forward to the most in 2024. So what are we waiting for? Tim, hit it! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Fight Inside Podcast.
All right, guys, you can already see him on the screen here because we're using a different platform than we normally do. But this guest, based on the fan reaction and questions submitted, is the biggest guest that we have ever had on the podcast in the last 3 years. He is born, raised, and currently in South Africa. He will fight for the UFC middleweight championship on January 20th in my hometown, just a few minutes away from here. Right here in Toronto, Canada at UFC 297 at the Scotiabank Arena. In my opinion, shared by many of you all, I am sure, he has upheld a level of professionalism and acted as a true gentleman, which I greatly admire him for. And so I am so honored to have him here today. Rain, welcome him in.
Please welcome Dricus Stilnox du Plessis.
Oh, how's it going, Dricus?
How was it, Gail? What's up, guys? Well, yeah, you said the surname right. You said the name right. It's something I haven't heard a lot of these days. So that was perfect. Thank you.
I did a lot of research on that. I watched like tons of videos and I found a video on Instagram of you saying your name. So I was like, thank God. Thank God.
Now, DDP, I have to ask you, did you recognize what Rain is wearing around her neck?
I did not. Let me see that again. Ah, that's a beautiful, this Springboks, of course. Look at it.
That's amazing. It's from the Rugby World Cup.
Ta-da! Yeah, it's like all the teams, but it's only one team that really matters.
Yeah. Right? Should she cut up the scarf and just leave that one part there?
Yeah, or I'll just bring a proper Springbok one with me when I go to Canada and we can arrange for that.
Yes. There we go. Now, sir, how excited are you to come to Toronto in the dead of winter? It will be the coldest temperatures you have ever witnessed in your life. Is that probably most right?
Yeah, definitely. In South Africa. I was in Poland quite a few times when I fought KSW, and it gets pretty cold there as well, but I don't think to minus 10, no ways.
No. Nothing compared to the Toronto winter. Make sure you get some good boots, because you're going to be slushing around, you know, who knows what's going to happen in Toronto.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, like you said, like how excited I am, I don't know. I'll tell you when I get there because I have no idea really what to expect when I go to Canada.
Well, it's funny that you say that because you're a very, very likable guy. So here's the thing. I feel like, you know, you probably get a lot of positive fan reaction wherever you go. But as you fight for this championship, you're fighting Sean Strickland, who has gone about getting his popularity in a somewhat different way, you know, kind of like the anti-hero, kind of a very polarizing character. How do you expect the fans to react to the two of you as you guys stand off and do the media days? Like, what are you expecting?
Yeah, it's a thinking point for me. The big thing is I haven't been a favorite once in terms of the crowd. You know, I've always fought in Vegas, fighting a guy like Robert Whittaker. I mean, everybody loves Rob. I love Rob. And then you're fighting a Darren Till, who's always a crowd favorite. Derek Brunson, who's a crowd favorite, and obviously an American guy. So, you know, for me, it doesn't play the most massive role, but it's going to be interesting. You know, Sean Strickland, fans like him. I have no problem with him. I think he's a funny guy, and you know, he says what he wants. You know, he's true to himself. I guess I've met him full quickly. Not a bad guy at all. So I think, yeah, like you said, it's a very different approach. But you know, all of us just trying to be ourselves. Well, not all of us, but you know, I think himself and me, like trying to be ourselves. And you know, some people are going to like it and some people are not. So it's all about the fight. I think this one is going to be all about the fight. And who wins the fight? That's what the fans are going to get. It's going to be one heck of a fight. But, you know, it's going to be, in terms of fan favoritism, I think it's going to all come down to what's your personal preference.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that because you're such a likable guy. I don't feel like you're ever not the fan favorite. I feel like you're probably at the very least equal. I mean, people always like you, my friend. I do have, in order to help you, though, with the Toronto crowd and the Toronto people, because you're going to be doing media and stuff like that, I've got a little game to play with you. It's three questions to help you learn how to be maybe a little bit more Canadian. So we're going to try that. Rain started off with question number one.
All right. Question number one. 15% of Canadians visit a Tim Hortons once every A, year, B, month, C, day.
Can I hear the question again? Visit a what?
15% of Canadians visit a Tim Hortons once every A, year, B, month, C, day.
I'm going to go with the day.
That is correct. Now, Drikus, a Tim Hortons is a coffee shop here in Canada.
Yeah.
Now, you should call it a Timmy's. Okay? So just think about your favorite podcast and Timmy B here. So they're going to be carrying a red cup that will say Tim Hortons. That's our most famous coffee shop. And 15% of all Canadians visit it every day.
What's the population in Canada?
I mean, there's six guys next to me over here, but I don't know what the overall pop. It's big, man. Well, you know what? That said, I don't think we're as big as what people think because we have a large land mass, but we're all very spread out.
Population. Okay.
Yeah, because I think it's 38 million, somewhere around there. So it's not crazy, but 37 million.
You have. So you with 38 million, you have like. What's that? Almost 5 million people every day going to the same coffee shop. That's
yeah. Now there's a Timmy's on every corner. So that's the trick. See? But if you go to like a press conference or something with a Timmy's or say, I'm going to go to a Timmy's, that will get you in with the Canadian crowd, my friend.
So, okay. Yeah. So the Canadians really love Timmy's.
Yeah. It's good. And then our donuts, like the little circle ones, do you have those in Australia? Like the little mini baby donuts?
I'm South African.
Yeah, they are called Timbits.
Timbits. Okay, so they sell them there too.
Yeah.
Like I would really try not to even see them when I'm there since I'll be cutting a lot of work. I don't want to even see those donuts. I was going to be hating on that donut until after the fight.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Rain, question number two.
All right, number two. The Toronto Maple Leafs last won the Stanley Cup championship A, last year, B, 10 years ago, C, back in 1967, which is 56 years ago, which is my age, by the way.
Did you just say 57 years ago? And that's your 56. Age, you're old. They didn't win last year. I don't think they won last year. They definitely didn't win last year. I think it's 10 years ago then. Must be.
Drikus, you are coming to Toronto where we have not won the hockey championship in 57 years.
Oh, wow. I honestly thought you guys were best. Oh, shit.
No, dude, we are a miserable, miserable city when it comes to hockey. We love it. We set records every year going to the games, but we have not won the championship in
I like to watch highlights, all of that, but I don't know hockey because ice hockey because we don't play it at all. But, you know, I know the team and I know the – so I assume – I know it's the – in Las Vegas, it's the Vikings, right?
I think so.
The Golden Knights.
No. Oh, Golden Knights.
Golden Knights, yeah.
Oh, the Golden
they do
Knights.
Look like Vikings, but yeah, they're the Golden Knights.
Oh, okay, yeah, I understand. And yeah, because I've seen their merch and stuff on their in their new stadium. Okay, cool. And, but I know the Maple Leafs, so okay, 57. That's not great. Shit,
yeah,
sorry, guys.
No, it's not good. It's not good, my friend. Rain, question number three.
All right, number three. How many times do Canadians say sorry in a day? A, never. B, five. C, infinity and beyond.
Definitely C, infinity and beyond, no doubt.
Yes, I'm very sorry about that, Drikas, but you will have to start saying sorry all the time to fit in with Canadians. We apologize for everything.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. So during this podcast, please try to practice saying sorry all the time.
Oh, and sorry. Then that,
you know, you'll get into it. You'll get into it.
Yeah.
Drikas, I did want to say, you know, the way that you've handled yourself with all the drama and stuff that's gone on with, you know, your interactions with Adesanya and the media and stuff like that has been very admirable. Like I said, like, I really respect you for everything you've done. I think there's a ton of people, the majority, that really respect you for how you've responded. How important is it for you to not get drawn into silly drama and stuff like that and just focus on your fights?
Yeah, for me, you know, I'm not completely, I'm not somebody that says, no, I don't do a smack talk at all. I'm just not going to try and make fake beef. I'm not going to. So with me and Adesanya, there was tension. There was a real, we do not like each other, which is fine. I mean, you can't like everybody you meet. But we obviously had, I did have a real problem, which is fine. You know, we don't like each other. Perfect. I did, have a very big problem with him trying to bring race into the whole conversation, because it's not something to build up a fight upon. It's not something personal. This affects the whole world. And I think for me, that was a very, very, you know, if you're a champion and all those people are looking up to you, listen, we are not athletes in a way where you have to conduct yourself in that precise manner. We don't represent a team. We are fighters at the end of the day, so we are a little bit crazy, I would assume. But once it comes to something like, and you have that responsibility as a champion to spread and to try and awake something like that and bring racism or race into a conversation, I don't see any place for that in sport or in life in general. And that was to me. You know, it didn't affect me. It was just, I lost all the respect that I ever had for him as a person, of course. And I feel if that was the message, like people, that was the message I was trying to give to people. And that was, it's not how a champion should behave at all. Now that's something very, very, very serious and something that doesn't belong in sports at all or in life in general. So, yeah. I mean, with that being said, I wouldn't be drawn into it because it felt senseless to talk about it because it doesn't even make sense. It's such a ridiculous statement. And that's why I can't be drawn into anything because it's something it doesn't affect me at all.
Yeah.
But for me, the most important part was staying true to myself, who I am, and not going down to his level and starting. The more we debate on anything like that, the more we enable people to talk about it, which is terrible.
Right.
And that's why, you know, for me, handling it, especially after the fight, how he came into the cage and almost lost it a little. It felt like, and that was the first time he lost that round. It was, he slipped up. He got very emotional. And you know, for me, I was on an emotional high. I was as high as I can. I just knocked out Robert Whittaker. So there's nothing he could have done to throw me off. I was on top of the world.
Yeah.
But that, you know, Adesanya is completely out of my mind and my thought at all. Now, yes, yeah. Sure, I would love to fight him along the line, but for now, my only and single most important thing that I ever think about is Sean Strickland. That's the only thing I wake up thinking about when I go to sleep, like always, with every single opponent. Everything I do revolves around beating Sean Strickland. I don't care what happens after that. I don't care about the next guy. Or I care about 20th January, beating Sean Strickland and becoming the world champion. That's the only name and the only thing that really, really matters to me.
No, I really appreciate that, Drikas. I appreciate you speaking to that because, you know, what you did in the cage, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about it, because I'm sure you don't want to be bothered with this, but I didn't want to not touch on it because a million questions came in on it. But the way that you handled yourself, the way that when you were in the cage and you saw how it was going down, and the way that you just turned around and just walked off at home, just so you know, in Toronto, Canada, my wife and I were sitting there applauding you because we really appreciated what you did. We thought that that was the best way that you could deal with it. And I appreciate that that's the way that you're handling it moving forward. So just know that you have a lot of fans and supporters believing in you, no matter what people say or that you might hear, because negativity always kind of, you know, overpowers. But man, you did the great, you did the right thing, and I appreciate you. That said, the fans do love you. I know that we follow a site on Instagram called at MMA Gains, and they track like social media growth. After that Robert Whittaker fight, you grew by 50%. I think you grew by like 70,000 followers just over that weekend. So yeah. The fans have come out in droves. And, you know, I know you're going to get tons of the same questions and things like that from all the media responsibilities that you do. So what I want to focus this interview on now is just fan questions, Drikas. Because people love you. I tried to pick out good questions. Rain and I are going to alternate some of them. If we run out and we need more, I've got a boatload of questions. Rain, I think I am going to start here. And then, so Drikas, we don't need to go long on these questions. Just a quick answer is good, and we'll get through these babies. Thank you to everybody that submitted questions. And I'm sorry that we don't get through to all of them. DDP has agreed to come on the podcast every week from now on so that we can get through them. So thank you. Engelbrecht, and some of these names I'm not going to say properly because I'm sure they're South African, maybe in nature, but Engelbrecht Devin, what is the first thing you're buying after winning the championship?
A beer.
Okay. any beer in particular?
Well, I would have definitely said when I drink beer, I drink in South Africa, it's a Castle Lite, but unfortunately, there is no Castle Lite in Canada.
No, but that's so funny. One of the questions I didn't pick to put in here was, I remember it said DDP, Castle or Castle Lite? So Castle Lite is the one.
100%.
All right, Rain.
Now, I'd love to just talk about your favorite beer, because the next question, well, that the one that you pick is not part of the selection, but I guess you can pick in this selection. From D'Angelo White asks, what is your favorite beer among these choices? Stella Artois, South African Zimalek, Windhoek, or something else, which I think we know the answer now.
Oh, Castle Lite would be something else, but in those three, definitely Zimalek for sure.
Mm. Ah, very nice. All right. Hakim Hafke asks, South Africa wants to know, is your entrance going to be Sister Bettina?
No, it won't. No, it won't.
I do not know what Sister Bettina is.
It's a very South African song. Loves the song. You know, everybody know for just in terms of a walkout song. For me, I believe a walkout song is something that should really get you going, and everybody gets going in a different way. So yeah, the people would love it. It would make for a great exit song. But you know, in terms of my walkout song, it has to speak to me in a way that gets me ready for war.
Okay, and is it the song I found? Your last walkout song was Air. What was
Airborne.
Yeah, Airborne.
Yeah, that is the song. I've been walking out to the song, I think, for maybe 10 years.
Ah, okay. That's a good one. I like it. When I made a reel about you, I put that one on. That's a good song, man. EB243 asks, are you ready?
Oh, I'm more ready than I will ever be ready for anything in my life.
Okay. There you go. Ring.
All right. Vuck138 wants to know, can DDP follow me back?
Oh,
yeah, DDP. Well, what about poor Vuck? What about poor Vuck 138? He wants that follow back.
We'll try to get to that.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. This one, I don't know about this. PA Brother asks, did you have to pay a $10,000 fine for greeting Trump?
Yes, that was the initial fine for jumping over the cage. Yeah. So they said, they told us beforehand, listen, if you jump over you, you're getting a $10,000 fine.
Oh.
And I said, okay, I won't jump over the fence. I never jump over the fence. Why would I jump over the fence? I've never done that before. And it was just like, I'm not going to do that. And they said it to me like four times before walking out. And I was, for that event specifically, I'm assuming it was because Trump was setting cage height in terms of safety. And I was like, I don't know why you guys are keep on hammering about me jumping over the fence. I've never done it before. And it was literally the last instruction I got just before walking through the cage. And I was like, seriously, I'm in the zone here. Stop telling me I shouldn't jump over the fence. And after the fight, I just looked inside and Trump stood up and he gave me an ovation. I was like, this is too cool of a moment for me to let by. And I jumped over the fence, obviously, and greeted Trump.
That's crazy. You know what? Yeah. You know what that is, Trikus? That's like when your parents say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Yeah. And all you can think of is, well, I guess I really should.
I want to do it.
I was this like the president of the United States. I'm not going to greet him. This is amazing. I mean, yeah. So
that's so funny. Wait, did they actually find you? Did they collect on that?
Yeah, I think they did. I think, yeah. So obviously, I got a performance bonus. So I think the UC maybe have they did a like oh switcheroo. Like maybe we should give him some money. But I think they definitely find me.
Oh boy, that's crazy. I did not know that. That's a good one. Thank you for that question. All right, Rain.
Wow. Okay. So next one is from Sachin Gunjack 7. Is UFC coming to South Africa? And if so, what city?
Yes, they are going to come to South Africa because we are going to have a South African champ early next year. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of logistics still need to happen before they can decide, but I know it. I know the UFC is going to come to South Africa. I've always believed this. And, you know, in terms of city or where, we don't know yet, but it's going to happen within the next year. I'm 100% sure of that.
Nice. Very good, sir. Sam, the engineer, says the box won the Rugby World Championships. So you better bring home the belt. We are counting on you.
100%. That's it. I mean, you know, we're a proud country, proud people, very proud of our Springboks. And, no, I wouldn't be the one to let the country down. No ways.
There you go. And Rain.
All right. Waz 007 Mullah. After Sean, who's next? Izzy, Rob, or someone else?
Yeah, I would assume the UFC would probably want to do Khamzat. I think that's the fight that they're going to try and make. I have no problem with that fight. You know, obviously, if there's a choice between Khamzat and Izzy, I would rather pick Izzy. And purely because that's a fight that I would really like. But it honestly doesn't matter to me. No, Rob obviously just came off a loss. So he's going to, you know, Rob obviously he's brilliant, but you know, you can't lose and then fight for the belt immediately. I think that's not how it works. But, you know, obviously Khamzat, he's unbeaten. He's never fought a ranked middleweight, which doesn't justify title shots for me, but no fighting Israel Adesanya. He's one of the best middleweights to ever do it. If you look at his record, and no, I would love to fight him in, as a defense. But once again, I'm not even thinking about that. I'm thinking about one thing, and that's Sean Strickland.
Yeah, that laser focus. Momo Ismail 5 asks, I like this question. Where can someone meet you if they're not comfortable in a bar? I've got a belt for you to sign. So where do people just randomly run into this UFC legend here?
So, I mean, we do quite a few meet and greets. That's the one thing I think maybe somebody's not comfortable going into a bar. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we're going to do one somewhere very soon. I think we're going to probably do a whole tour after the fight. So in South Africa, we'll do a whole tour through the country. And yeah, I'm sure it's not going to be only bars. I think we'll make sure we can accommodate everybody. But right now, I don't have a clear answer for you on that.
No worries. Well, I mean, and can I ask though, where are you right now? Because you look like you're in a beautiful gym. You're in a
setup. I'm in my gym. Just finished my training and yeah, just finished for the day. So yeah, I'm in my gym. So yeah, we are going to probably do a cool media day and meet and greet before I leave for Canada. So yeah, right. Be on the lookout on social media. I'm sure we're gonna make something like that happen.
All right, perfect. Rain, last question. I like this one. And I made sure that Rain asked you this one, not me.
All right, last question. And it's perfect because you're at your gym right now. Fabian Faba One wants to know, how much do you bench to get that iron chest?
I don't do bench press, to be quite honest with you. I think the last time I did the bench press, I was maybe 20 years old when I was still playing rugby, maybe 19, 20. You know, I don't really do bench press. In my new strength program, there's some bench press, but I'm talking about maybe once a month. But really, I don't even know what my personal best is in bench press. I haven't really done a bench press in the last 10 years, I would say. I mean, I'm more focused on like, you know, body workouts, push-ups, weighted push-ups, that kind of stuff. I don't really believe in the old, you know, I don't do like conventional bodybuilding training. I don't think it's effective, to be honest. I don't really do bicep curls and bench presses and leg presses and those kind of things. I try to do my strength more functional. I believe in fighting, it's not as the strength is not as static as it would be as you would do in a bench press. I believe the strength is much more while moving and you know, getting muscle endurance is much more important than getting actual strength. I try to do my most of my strength work and with body weight.
All right. Well, I feel like you're being modest. I thought I saw before we started, I thought I saw you benching about 700 pounds. So let's just say that that's the Now, Drikas, we're running out of time and I don't want to keep you too long. Again, I do want to say thank you so much to all the fans. I mean, Drikas, by a million fold, you got flooded with questions here. We had such great ones.
That's amazing. Yeah, man. Thank you to all the fans.
Really huge.
It's awesome.
Yeah, really huge. And I hope, you know, I do hope that one day we will have you back on this podcast to celebrate the win. And hey, maybe if I get into that Toronto event, I'm trying to get in as media, Drikas. So if I get there, I will definitely say hello to you.
That'd be awesome, man. And I mean, even if we're at the hotel, I mean, if we can do an interview, I'll be 100% keen beforehand. It'll be
great. For sure, man. For sure. Now, one question that I ask all my guests, and I want to ask before we lose out on time here. It's a question that my mom used to ask me all the time as I was growing up, almost every day. And I want to ask it to you. So DDP, Mr. Drikas du Plessis, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you?
Probably 11, if I must say.
Ooh. Very nice. Very nice.
I'd probably give it an 11. I mean, things can't really go better for me. I'm living my dream every day. I have amazing people, amazing team, amazing friends, amazing family, you know, just people who make life worthwhile. And, you know, they're all supporting me. You know, I'm extremely proud of what I've accomplished till this point. And, you know, it's such a big point in my life where, you know, since I was 15, 16 years old, I've dedicated my life to the sport. And everybody around me, the people that are still around me, and most of them were there from the beginning, all believed in me in this dream and has been on this journey with me. And now, you know, it's crazy the amount of friends that are going to this fight. I mean, it's a very expensive trip from South Africa to Canada. Just everybody. I'm talking about 50 plus friends and people that I know very closely that is getting their visas and, you know, going to Canada to the event. So, you know, it's an amazing experience, and to share this with the people closest to me. And overall, I mean, this last couple of years has been life changing, you know, since getting into the UFC, which has been such a hard journey, like grinding just to get that call from the UFC. And this past couple of years being in the UFC couldn't have gone any better. Yeah. So, yeah, I would give that 11. I'm, you know, life is great, and I'm incredibly blessed, and I'm really, really happy with life right now.
That's beautiful, man. Rain, is there anything you want to say before we let him go?
I just want to say thank you so much for joining us. It's an honor to have you on our podcast. Real quick though, if you are not an MMA fighter, is it safe to say that you would be playing rugby and would be a part of the Springboks?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely, you know, I wanted to go and chase the rugby dream. If I would have played for Springboks, I don't know. I mean, those guys are absolutely incredible. It's really, really hard to play for Springboks, but you know, I think that would have been the career that the path that I went on and try and achieve that. I would say playing for the Springboks is like being in the UFC top five. It's a very, very tall order, but I would have definitely tried. And now I think that's always been something that I would have loved to do, is to represent my country in on the high stage, whether it be fighting, rugby, or whatever. But you know, if I would have played for Springboks, I don't know. I mean, if you see some of these guys, they are absolute behemoths. But it could definitely be something I would have chased, of course.
Yeah. Hey, look, I mean, achieving any of the things that you have achieved is incredible. And of the, you know, the 1% of the 1% of the 1% is where you stand right now. So, Drikas, I wish you all the best when you come to Toronto to kick ass, to perform well, to leave with that championship gold. We are so happy and excited for you. Before we let you go, a couple minutes left. Is there anything that you wanted to say to the fans, viewers, and listeners of the podcast and to all your fans around the world?
Yeah, I mean, just thank you guys, both of you, for having me. It's been amazing. Thank you for all the compliments and nice things you guys said. And all the fans that went out of their way to ask questions. And I'm really excited to see everybody in Toronto. I mean, I hope there's a few people excited to see us there and excited for this fight. I promise it's going to be a banger of a fight. It's going to be amazing. And, you know, just the support that I've been getting from all over the world. It's been amazing. And even the negative stuff, whatever. It's the noise that counts. It's the fact that people are engaging in this, because without the fans, I don't have a job, and it's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, Drikas, you are an incredible fighter, an incredible man. I, again, can't say enough about the fan support that you're getting and about how we respect what you do and how you conduct yourselves. So again, from Fight and Sight and from all the people here in Canada, we're sorry about the weather. I'm going to apologize for that. I'm sorry for when we bump into you. I'm sorry for, you know, for bothering you. Get used to hearing I'm sorry. Get that Tim Hortons cup, get some Timbits, you know, just
definitely getting a Timmy's, man. 100%.
Get a Timmy's. Look Canadian, you know, you'll fit right in, my friend. And thank you so much. And we'll see you again one day, and all the best to you.
Cheers, guys. Thank you so much for having me. Have a good one.
Thank you so much.
Cheers. See you, buddy. Take care. All right. We're back. Rain, what a fantastic interview with Mr. Drikas du Plessis.
Awesome. You said it right. Drikas du Plessis. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So anyone who wants to know how to pronounce his name, talk to me. Message me.
Yeah. Hit up Rain, right? No, that was an amazing interview. And again, I know we said it in the intro, or we will say it in the intro through the magic of editing, but that was recorded prior to UFC 296.
Mm-hmm.
So, for those wondering why we didn't ask him about fighting with Sean Strickland in the crowd, it's because this was done before. So, but anyways, we'll get to I'm going to analyze that interview just a little bit with you, Rain. But before we do, I want to say thank you for everybody watching this podcast. So thank you for tuning in. DDP got the most fan viewers, fan engagement, fan questions submitted. That's why this whole podcast is titled DDP Answers Fan Questions. Because we got so many, we just didn't want to ignore it. You know what I mean? And Rain, I feel like every time there's like interviews and stuff like that, you always see people asking pretty much the same questions.
Yeah.
You know, and especially with the drama that happens and things like that, that's where all the questions are going to focus. But people wanted to know, what's your favorite beer? Where can I meet you if I don't like being in bars? You know, like they ask, those are the questions people want to know. So that's why we're asking that. And I do hope that he comes back on the podcast one day, because that dude was very, very nice. Now, if it's your first time watching us, please subscribe, follow, do all that stuff at all our socials. Do that. Comment in the video. Do all that stuff. That'd be fantastic. Next week on the podcast, Rain, I have no clue who's coming on.
Surprise.
Surprise.
There you go.
But as we are filming this, this literally just popped up on my phone, and I think it is going to be what I think it is. Give me one second here. I think I just got an email that says that in 2 weeks' time, Monday, so that's the week of the 18th, Impa Kasangane, the winner of our Male Fighter of the Year 2023, the champion of PFL, he will be on the podcast. So in 2 weeks' time, Rain, we're going from one future champion in DDP to a decorated champion in IMPA. So I'm super excited about that. That is hot off the presses. Literally did not know that until 2 seconds ago. And so that's awesome. Next week, I don't know who we're going to have on, Rain, but here's one thing that happened in the world of MMA, right in your backyard in California. Did you know that there's an MMA pension now?
I saw that on social media, actually.
Your friend, referee Mike Beltran, put it up. Is that where you saw it?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is very interesting, Rain, because there's a freaking pension for MMA fighters. I don't know what the hell that is. I don't know the details around it or anything, but I reached out to a government official that I believe is very involved in it. And we are in talks to get him on the podcast to explain it in full.
Ooh, wow. Cannot wait to talk to that person.
I know. And Rain, I promised him your vote in future elections. So I'm sorry about that. I don't know what it is. But anyway, so this guy, I'm really hoping that he comes on because I'm very interested in that. Rain, many, many moons ago before I met you, we had on from the Philippines the coach of Team Lakai in the Philippines, which is a massive MMA gym. We had Coach Mark Sangyao, and he was working with politicians in the Philippines to get a MMA pension for national Filipino fighters.
Fighters, uh-huh.
It never, unfortunately, worked out, but like, or maybe it's still in the works, but that's something that people have been wanting for a long time. So that's very, very interesting, like to be able to give fighters a pension.
And, yeah, especially for those who like really, you know, fought, you know, to chase their dreams, you know, and that was mainly their focus and they didn't get a chance to build a career outside of fighting. That is something that would be really helpful for fighters.
Yeah, I mean, it goes two ways. One, it speaks to if you're a fighter, you got to friggin' plan your future, right? Like you do have to have things going on in the background. You got to think about that stuff. We've talked about that on the podcast before. Go check out our interview with Jake Matthews. You do have to plan, right? Like your career and your life outside of fighting, because one bad injury.
That's it.
Bada bing, bada boom, it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that said, when we were interviewing Taylor McClatchy, she said that she blew her knee out because she was going to go into MMA and then blew her knee out and that's it. And now she's just continuing to do Muay Thai. I mean, she's still incredible and doing fantastic, but that's how quickly life can change, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, future interviews, we've got tons of great things lined up. So stick with us. Rain, friends of the podcast update, as we always do, there's a few things that I want to shout out. One is RageWorks Podcast Network, of course. We've been with these guys for 3 years. They're kicking ass. RageWorksNetwork.com. Go check them out for audio podcasts like ours. We've got two fighters fighting this week, January 6th, both at Peak Fighting. Tyler Schaefer, Ty Shay. She's a former guest, former co-host of the podcast. She is fantastic, Rain. She's out in California your way as well. She's fighting at Peak Fighting. And the winner of our submission of the year, Amber, the Misfit Tyrell, she fights at Peak Fighting as well on January 6th. So pull up your UFC Fight Pass, January 6th, go cheer for two Fight Insight alumni that I'm dying to see both get kick-ass wins, and then hopefully we'll have them on to celebrate their victory.
And that's this weekend.
That's this weekend. Yeah. So hopefully you watch this podcast on time, and then you go check that out. Okay. The other thing is it was announced that Luscious Gordo, UNF's Khalil Pearson, we've had him on before. We're going to have him on again as well. January 27th, he fights at UNF 15.
15. Yep.
And I heard that there's going to be an incredible ring announcer there, Rain. Ringside Rain.
Ringside Rain. Rain Cruz. Woohoo. Yes. So you guys don't miss UNF 15 on January 27th.
Yeah, very, very exciting. Are you excited for that? We'll talk about it
more. I am excited.
Yeah? It's going to be crazy. Yeah. It looks fantastic. The posters look great. So everything looks like it's coming up. So that's very exciting for you. Now, we'll get on with some stuff here. The DDP interview. For us, we recorded it like 2-3 weeks ago now. Where I know we're releasing this, so fans are watching this going, what the hell? Why are you doing like a recap? But, Rain, I think there's some interesting things in there. He did say that he likes Sean Strickland. He goes, yeah, I like him. He's a funny guy. He's not a bad guy. Interesting that the heat now in the last 3 weeks has ramped up to a million degrees. They get into a fight in the middle of UFC 296 in the crowd. They get into a fight. You saw it, right?
Yeah.
Rain, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being it's 100% fake. What do you think? Do you think that fake that fight was fake? Do you think it was staged? Do you think it was planned?
I don't think the fight was fake. I don't think it was staged. I remember seeing it live and I even took a picture and then I think I sent it to you. Yeah. And I found it odd that they were kind of like close to each other, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it seemed like, you know, they were okay with it. And the fight, I mean, I was looking at DDP's like facial reaction. It seemed like he was actually upset because I think he was just having a good time. And, you know, when then it escalated to a fight, when he was kind of pulled to the side, you could kind of see his facial reaction and you can tell he's really upset because judging by, you know, how he was when we interviewed him, right? Mm. You know, he's such a nice guy. And even during that interaction between him and Sean Strickland, he was all smiling, you know, just enjoying his time. And then, you know, when it escalated into a fight, it just seemed like he was just like upset. So I don't think, I don't think it's staged.
Yeah, this hat's making it look weird in my background. It makes it look like my head is huge. So it's funny. It's funny that you say that because, yeah, in the interview that we just did, he talks about, I don't want to get sucked into drama. I don't want to make fake beef, stuff like that. Because, and then he was talking about the Adesanya. So yeah, I feel like, I don't know that it's fake. I really appreciate what you're saying about his facial expression because before Sean Strickland turns and jumps at him, DDP is kind of like smiling and he's like goofing. Mm-hmm. And based on what he's telling us, like, hey, I like the guy. He's not a bad guy, whatever. I feel like he's just playing it up and he's goofing around. And then Sean, you know, and we know now because we've seen it in the media, but he tells Gilbert Burns' wife and son, hey, can you move to the side?
Mm-hmm.
He tells them to shift because I'm going to go. Like, it's just there's a lot there to unpack.
Yeah, yeah.
Dana White goes out to go, who's the dummy that sits them close to one another? I do. I do the seating charts all the time. So you're telling me 297 events this guy has been seating people around, or more than that, because it's like every fight night. And suddenly you put these two people so close to one another, Sean Strickland being an absolute lunatic, and you know what's going to happen? Like, it's just very, it just, to me, it seems like they were staging it to happen.
Maybe it was more of like a setup, you know, but like the actual fight, it wasn't staged, but like it was kind of set up to maybe we can kind of get some interaction between the two of them.
Yeah. And I do. And then I feel like when Sean jumps at him and stuff, and you're right, because DDP's face kind of changes, he gets kind of upset and whatever. I do kind of also feel like that maybe he's like, yo, what the heck?
Yeah.
Like, we're just goofing and whatever. Like, what, are you crazy? Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, people watching this podcast might be more DDP fans. It does seem like he gets the better of them because at the end of it, Sean's on the ground and DDP's standing up. So yay for our Fight Insight alumni.
Yay.
But I did think that that was weird. You know, there's been a lot of talk. Israel Adesanya is saying that he's going to come back for UFC 300. And that's kind of what the talks are. And people are like, oh, it's going to be Adesanya versus the winner of Sean versus DDP. I think that's weird because A, Adesanya's last fight was a loss. And you didn't get an immediate rematch. So why would you get a different fight for a championship?
Mm-hmm.
But what we did hear from DDP here on this podcast is that he wanted Khamzat next. And Rain, I'm saying that I think that that's a more interesting fight in reality. I feel like the Adesanya DDP with the racial undertones and all that stuff. I really would prefer to see Khamzat get that title shot if it goes to UFC 300. Khamzat needs a win now so that he can get rested up and ready for UFC 300. But I do think that that's not a bad idea. What do you think about that? Or would you rather see Adesanya?
You know, I was actually excited for Adesanya versus DDP.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think although, you know, like DDP said, he wasn't, you know, really into like the drama, right?
Yeah. Not into that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not into that stuff. I don't know. I just feel like it's something that I'd want to see mostly because he's such a gentleman. Right, and I want to see how he would handle, you know, how he would handle himself leading up to the fight and on the actual fight day. Because we saw how the interaction was between Adesanya and GDP, and that was just, you know, all talk, you know? Yeah. And then I want to see them two in action after that, you know, the verbal interaction.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that all goes down. Like, who, you know, who's going to win? A, first of all, because he's been on this podcast, you know, we want DDP to win that shot, win that title shot. But then it'll be interesting to see where he goes next, especially because, like, when you look at the comments he made just now on our podcast, and then you look at what's transpired since then, it does seem a little bit weird. And I do want to bring up, you know, there was something where Sean Strickland is saying that DDP said some unsavory type words to him. I don't know whether it's like then at that moment when they're in the crowd, if like some things were said. I think that's what he kind of alludes to. Mm-hmm. But also at the press conference, DDP makes some reference, which, you know, to be fair, I don't think that you should bring up family stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And DDP does bring up some of the Sean Strickland's past as a way to chirp at him. You know, it was said kind of like as a joke, but obviously those things hit hard. And Sean Strickland was saying like, hey, you know, when you bring up past like that and blah, 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 I'm going to kill you and whatever. It's hard, Rain. We talk about, you know, lines that you can't cross. But in just meeting DDP, I just feel like the things that he was saying were more in the sense of, hey, we're joking about this, but not realizing that it was going to hurt so bad. And I guess that's what happens in real life, right? Sometimes you say things and,
Yeah, and it actually stings, you know, because it gets too personal.
Yeah, yeah. You say something and then it's a little bit too much. So, but yeah. I don't know. What else did we want to talk? I mean, anything else about DDP? Anything else that you were seeing in the news or anything like that that you wanted to bring up? Or
no, I'm just excited for his fight against Sean Strickland. And I love how DDP kept saying he wanted to just focus on that fight and then, you know, tackle like the next after that. So his eyes are basically on the prize right now, winning his fight against Sean Strickland. So I love that laser eyed focus that he has.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all he's thinking about. That's all he's focused on, right? Is fighting Sean Strickland. It's coming up in like just a few weeks, Rain.
Yeah.
It'll be a few weeks. It's going to be right down like close to me. That said, I don't think I'm going. I have not figured out a way to get into that event. So if anyone watching this podcast is like, we could get you in, Timmy B, like, you know, hit me up. But aside from that, Rain, honestly, I'm not paying $1,000. That's how much the tickets are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Canadian?
Canadian? Yeah. So it's like $35 American. But it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money to go watch. You know,
there's you'll a lot probably of have a better view anyway when you watch it at home. I'm just saying, unless you're like like cage side, right? I feel like you'll have a better view anyway at home.
Yeah. Do you know how many toppings I can get on my pizza for less than $1,000, including the pay-per-view? Like, I could have a million toppings on my pizza. That's like the, you know, yeah. It's just it's a lot. It's a lot of money. So hopefully the card is good. I know some fights have fallen out already, so hopefully they pack it back up with some good fights. But we will see what happens at that card again. Thank you so much to DDP for coming on that, coming on this show, like on this podcast. It was super, super appreciative of his time and doing it. Rain, you know how much it took to get that all set up.
Yeah.
Last minute, we have to change the program. That's why the screen looked a little bit different for those that noticed. But thanks to Rain's editing, it doesn't look that bad. So yeah, like everything worked out and we appreciate it. Rain, there was some other stuff that I wanted to quickly talk about, but we're running short on time. I do want to say Happy New Year to Rain. Thank you so much because you weren't here for our last episode. So I do want to say Happy New Year to you. I want to ask you, what is one of your favorite moments from 2023 and what are you looking forward to in 2024?
Oh, God. Well, Happy New Year to you for, as Thank well. You. My favorite moment of, I guess one of my favorite moments of 2023 was when I made my debut as a cage announcer at Up Next Fighting. You know, it was something that I had never done before because I mostly announced at wrestling events. And I remember prior to announcing at Up Next Fighting, I was thinking to myself, can I handle MMA? Can I do it? And, you know, I reached out to different promotions and Up Next Fighting gave me a chance. And, you know, in my head, I was like, you know what? Let's see if I'll fit in. And, you know, I have to admit, I questioned myself if I belong. And then, you know, a few shows after, I felt like the cage became my home. So, you know,
crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And because of that, I am here on Fight Inside Podcast. So yeah.
There you go.
It's a domino effect. So thank you, MMA. So
no, but it really is. And congratulations to you. And then since then you did what? Five events. Yeah. I was right. Five events. You're headed into this year already kicking it off with them as well. So like, I'm so happy for you because yeah, for those that don't remember when we first met Rain, it was because you were announcing for UNF. But it's because we had been following you from our Fight Inside account for so long because you were just this cool announcer.
Oh, thank you. But then
when you finally made the jump to MMA, it's like, well, now here's the reason we could have you on. Like, it made sense. And then we got your story and then like, bada bing, bada boom, here you are. So yeah, really cool that it all kind of worked out. What are you looking forward to in 2024?
Oh, God. To do more MMA shows with Up Next Fighting. And just to keep learning, you know, every time I do this podcast, I learn more about the sport. Every time I do an Up Next Fighting event, I learn more about the sport. You know, it's something that, you know, I fell in love with and I want to, you know, be around it for as much as I can.
Yeah, no, and for sure. And like, I think that you definitely will be. I love that UNF is giving you the opportunity. I don't know if last week, if I said it enough, but I really want to say thank you so much to both you for helping this show. I want to say thank you to Brady Bunch, who was a big co-host for a long time as well, who you met. Thank you to all the people that have supported. But I definitely want to thank Fight League Atlantic because for me, one of the biggest things in my life, aside from my marriage, was doing my first gig with Fight League Atlantic. Like doing that commentary gig was a dream come true. And to go out there and do that was crazy. And then to go out there twice and be with them. And hopefully this year we'll be with them as well more. But, you know, that was just a crazy thing. Like I never in a million years would have dreamt that that would happen for me. So that was just so cool. Like
you've been doing a great job. So
I hope so. I hope so. But, all right, we are going to end the podcast here. I had more stuff that I wanted to talk about. I posted something very interesting about, Aljamain Sterling, and he got into this grappling event on New Year's Eve. Rain, I'm going to send you the links to that. That stuff was crazy. You have to watch that fight. So if you're out there and you did not watch Aljamain Sterling at Fury Grappling, Fury 8, you have to watch it. I'm going to play this short little clip, Rain, before we go, just so you can kind of get the idea of how pissed off Aljo was at the end of it.
I didn't even know how they score that. Another man can't drag his ass cheeks on the mat and think that's a win, doing absolutely nothing. So why are we turning the sport into some type of weird spectacle where you can win a match off of your back doing absolutely nothing? Pull guard from standing up. Don't just start the match on your butt. Because that is a disgrace.
Ooh.
He's hot. No, it was Rain. I agree with that guy 1,000,000%. I really like Aljamain and what he said and what happened there at that event. Guys, we will talk about it next week for sure, Rain, because I really want to talk about that. But exactly what Aljamain was talking about is why Fight League Atlantic was so amazing when I went there for their Submission Kumite event. It's the rules in the BJJ that changes the world. And Aljo was pissed that his opponent from the get-go would just go sit down on the ground and scoot on his butt. Aljo was like so mad. Rain, I'm going to send you the video so you can watch that. Guys, we're out of here because we're running out of time. But thank you so much for checking this podcast out. We will talk about a whole bunch of stuff coming up in the new year. We've got tons of great interviews planned up. IMPA in 2 weeks. Don't miss it. IMPA in 2 weeks. Rain, this is going to be very exciting. I'm so excited for everything that's in store for us in 2024. We've got tons of stuff lined up. Thank you so much, Rain, for being a part of it. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
See ya. Happy New Year.